Not having up, I say, lessons from the wave. Final thoughts. You're going to fail. That's today's topic. I love you. It's okay. We thought last week was the last topic. No. One more lessons from Lev, able to get it in, Baruch Hashem, for the schedule changing a bit. I want to dedicate the shiur for a continued foolish lemon for my father-in-law, Tzivin Pesha, B'soch Shachal Yisrael. He should see a complete, speedy recovery, and it should be speedy in his life. He should start walking very, very quickly, running, doing all those wonderful things. Amen. I want to dedicate the shiur, L'zeich Nishmas, my two grandmothers, whose yurtzeits are 1 week apart, my grandmother, Chana Lusha Bas Beryl Dov, whose yurtzeit was last week, and this week, my grandmother's yurtzeit in 2 days from now, Chana Lusha Beryl Dov was last week, and Fegel Bras was Kolmes Kalman, the Rabbanu Sha'olam, should continue to have them be Melitz Yosher for our entire family, and for all the Klal Yisrael, and the Shammas should have an Aliyah. The topic is real, because as we leave our experiences here, whether they are to come back next year for Shana Bet, Lev L'Chayal, or they're just in general to go, you're going to be spending a summer away. You're possibly going to be spending more than that. And if you're listening in TV land, if you're listening on YU Torah, so this is something that we have always as challenges, where we have some spiritual awakening, a shir maybe we went to, being involved in a mitzvah, whatever it might be, maybe every Shabbos, something along those lines. But then we have challenges. And of course, I don't mean to be funny when I say that you will fail, but of course the question is, will you be able to get up? So I take the parsha, actually, interesting enough, of the parsha of Mekoshesh Eitzim, a very interesting topic that is brought over here. And the pasuk tells us, "Bnei Yisrael, vayu bnei Yisrael b'midbar." I thought we knew that already. "V'yimtzu ish mekoshesh eitzim b'yom haShabbos." So we're going to explain why the Torah felt it was necessary to add the fact that they were in the midbar, because we all know where they were. But before that, he was mekoshesh eitzim. Gemara Shabbos is a Gemara also in Bava Basra, but the Gemara in Shabbos delves into what exactly did he do, how did he do it. It's interesting because the Gemara in Shabbos also tells us who he was. The Gemara in Tzadik Vav Amud Beis and Tzadik Zayin says, who was it? Tana Rabbanim Mekoshesh Eitzim Sheyach Slavcha. It's good to know this, right? Because later on, B'no Slavchad will come for Yerusha of the Aretz. V'chein, Hayo Omer, V'yu B'nei Yisrael B'midbar B'mitzu Ish. Who was this Ish? So this Ish was Slavchad himself. So, this will make sense if you know the whole story with B'nos Slavchad, especially in light of what exactly happened. So first of all, it is quite obvious that of all the Averis that he could have done, he dafka did it about Shabbos. This is the Gemara that, actually, Medrash Agada. The Medrash Agada says, "Lama nismecha parshas chilul Shabbos etzel avodah zara." He just learned about the Isurim of avodah zara. So the Medrash Agada says, "Lamdech kishem she hamoyde be'avodah zara koyfer b'chol haTorah kulo." Somebody who serves idols is koyfer haTorah kulo. It shows that he has no belief in the Rabbanu Shalom in his Torah. Kach mechal Shabbos. Somebody who is mechal Shabbos is also koyfer b'chol haTorah kulo. V'chein shkula Shabbos kol kol haMitzvos. Shabbos is so important; it's connected to Mitzvos. There's something miyuchad over here. Something special about Shabbos Kodesh, and we have to understand that. So, the Netziv, interestingly enough, we quoted the Netziv last week as well, says beautifully as follows. Hu miyuchad v'hayodua zeh. Ella, right, didn't we know that he was in the Midbar? Why did he tell me he was in the Midbar? Torah is very careful not to add any words. Kamosha kasav atosu v'vav basa daf kufi yotetam v'beis, b'shem ha-medrash, shem makoshes nikavin l'shem shamayim. Very interesting. Let's go with the Peirush of Slavchad. So Slavka Dafka did this to teach a lesson to Klal Yisrael. The Yisrael Savru de Eina Torah Noheges Elo Be'eretz Yisrael. So think about this parsha. They know that they just had Mamon Har Sinai a number of weeks before. They're in the Midbar now, and their final goal is Eretz Yisrael. And what happened? Bechita Meraglim, Bechina, Bechina, sorry, Bechia, Bechinam. They cried for no reason. Now is going to be a bechina of the doros. And they're going to sit in for 40 years and nobody will live, nobody will see it. So what's going to happen? Quite obviously, despair. So what's the point of Shabbos? What's the point of anything? The whole point of Shabbos is the Shabbos Eretz Yisrael. Kamosha kasa b'sefer vayikra perich avav u'maishish ha'gazar aleim liyois arim shana b'midbar liyois golem imakal imakam. They're going to be walking from place to place. They're in Golos now. God put them in Golos, kiviyach, and the midbar is Golos. Right, we spoke about why the Torah was given in Har Sinai, Dafka, not in Eretz Yisrael. Golos, you can't make excuses. U'mishum hachi lo hikrivu korban asibor hachi kesovrim b'sashachi v'ol Eretz Yisrael. U'zeb amakoshish v'haros. And he said, no. Oso achil Shabbos mishun hachi kasov v'nei Yisrael b'midbar. Dafka, then we're in the midbar. He was cautious and said, no, there's something to live for. Don't despair. That was two ways of reading this Netziv. He did it l'shem shamayim. There was an element in the tzibur of despair. And he wanted to take one for the team. Very difficult to understand. And say, I want to show that there is something to live for. And Shabbos is extremely important. Someone who's not shomer Shabbos is ki'ivu ovid of avodah zarah. And I'll go a step further. Someone who treats one of the malachas of Shabbos as stupid, excuse the language, is Ovid of Avodah Zarah. He said, I understand we learned Lamed Tamei Malachos. I know one of the, I guess, negatives, if you will, of your year in Israel is that you learn a lot of things you never knew before. So, of course, the negative to that is that means you have to follow it, right? So if you never knew about ripping toilet paper before, now you know about it, you have to follow it. But if you answer, this is stupid. This isn't, God doesn't care if I rip toilet paper on Shabbos. Just one of the many examples. So I think that that's similar. Hashem doesn't care. So Bnei Yisrael had that feeling of, we don't care. Why should we care? So Bnei Yisrael says, that's a munah mitachon. That's it. You can't despair. You should be upset. You should be sad. We screwed up here. There's no question about it. But you got to get up. And isn't this the ultimate message? Hashem is always with us, no matter what. And something terrible can happen, like a chet, a maraglim, or certainly the door that sore, of course. The Egel HaZahav. Worship the Egel HaZahav. But then Rebbe Olishon gives him a Shabbos. The Rebbe Olishon gives him a Mishkan, pointing to the Ramban, to not only be Machaper, but to have a little bit, there's animals there. A little bit of that type of Avodah Zarah. To the Rebbe Olishon, of course. You will fall. You will be in a state of despair. You will fall into a situation where I didn't make minyan. That schedule I made for myself for learning, that's a joke. One of my rabbeim suggested that before you leave your year in Israel, on that last day, the next few days before you leave, you come and visit the Beis Medrash one more time. You take out a sefer. Whether it's the first page of a Gemara, and you do Daf Beis, or it's the first Mishnah, whatever it is, you start it. And you say, Hashem, I'm not going to be here all the time again, unfortunately. Hopefully, I'll come back. I'll recharge my batteries. But this sefer, I'm finishing. But I started it in the Beis Medrash. Comes along 3 months from now. You take out the sefer. You're still on Daf Beis. Spare. I said, forget it. I'm going to do it. I'm never going to finish. The joke that they tell about the Daf Yomi people, the people get really into it. They go to wherever it is, Madison Square Garden or wherever, you know, Meadowlands. I don't know what it's called. No, whatever it's called. And you go there and you're so inspired. That's it. I'm going to do Daf Yomi. Brachas. Oh, it's awesome. It's fun. The joke is, when Shabbos comes, Masechah Shabbos, boy Shabbos, boy Menucha. Shabbos is Shabbos, Menucha. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. Don't despair. There is a great prize at the end. Weiter. Maybe we could say even further. Because, of course, we can't mention Parshas Shlach without talking about what happened in Parshas Shlach, the Meraglim, what happened with the Meraglim. The Sfas Emes quotes based on the Chiddushei Arim, the Zohar says that these were great tzaddikim. We've got to be really careful to speak against the Maragel. Yes, you had Kalev and Yehoshua, but they were good people. The Zohar speaks about how they realize that their job is going to be expiring because if they go to Eretz Yisrael, they're not going to be needed. But more than that, says the Chiddush HaRim, something fascinating. He said, I don't get it. We visited Eretz Yisrael. It's rough. It's going to be hard here. It's not easy. You've got to work the land, right? And no land other than Eretz Yisrael. We certainly understand this puzzle. All around there's oil, there's gasoline, there's grape. And here, we got to come up with drip irrigation. We got to grow stuff in places that nobody ever thought things would grow. It's unbelievable. But when they were in the Midbar, they had spiritual bliss. Anei kavod, their clothes grew upon them. Literally, food came from Shemayim. I said, what do we need to sell for? Spiritual bliss. Says a Chiddush Adrim, that was their mistake. God doesn't want you to live in that bubble. That bubble of spirituality. It sounds a little strange, right? Especially for the Ger Rebbe to say such a thing. Your life goal is not to sit and learn Torah in your cocoon for the rest of your life. Shana Aleph is not the goal of the rest of your life. It's a Chiddush Nifla. Chiddush Nifla. The goal of life is to work. It's to work the land. It's to have a job and to have the challenges spiritually and then to be successful at those challenges. To be a real person. That's what the Rebbe Shalom wants of you. To go to Eretz Yisrael and work the land. That's hard. But that's why you put on this earth. Not to live in a midbar. This is a midbar. You're in a midbar right now. It's called Levatorah. Whatever yeshiva you pick. It's a midbar. I would further say Shabbos is a midbar. Shabbos is a midbar. But what do you do after Shabbos? You're in despair because you had a great Shabbos. Now I got the rest of the week. Oh, I got to go back to that annoying boss again. Oh, God. Here it comes. Monday morning. Oh, boy. I hate my job. Despair. Shabbos was so great. We had a fabric and I was able to finally leave my college campus where things aren't great there. And I went to it. Oh, it was a great Shabbos. Or on your own college campus. Shabbos is great and the rest of the week, not so great. Shabboses are so inspiring because, you know, there's 200-300 people davening Kabbalah Shabbos with you. And Monday morning comes and there's the same 10 people or 13 people or 14 people or 8 people. Despair. The chait of the Maragim, says the Chiddush HaRim, was that they understand that that is how a Jew is supposed to live. We don't believe that you have to live in the ivory tower. We actually are against that. Other religions believe that the holiest person, he's not allowed to get married. He's not allowed to drink wine. He has to be holy. That's not what we call Kedoshim Ti. It's living a real life. Tzfas Emes expands this, and Tzfas Emes says, that's why the mitzvahs immediately following the chait of the Meraglim are the mitzvah of challah, one of the hardest food items to make. You're the baker. If you're a real baker back in the day, your mamash, you have the in the back, you got the wheat growing. You take the wheat off, you beat the wheat, you make it into the whole thing. You make it, it rises up. And then you have to take a piece and give it to the kohen. Kilei Karen, you have a sada filled with beautiful grapes, you have to give it to the kohen. And finally, the parashat says this. You have clothing? You have clothing? Even my clothing is dedicated to the Ribono Shel'Olam. By a special garment that I have to wear, me'azu l'tamid, always. Maybe we could relate to this even more, because this is our own time. God is always on my body. And that reminds me that I shouldn't despair. And that reminds me that I'm going to fall, I'm going to fail. You know what? It sounds a little strange what I'm about to say. Hashem knows it. I don't want to say He wants it. But He knows about it in such a way that, how are you going to react to this? Are you going to just get back up and say, no. We spoke yesterday about Soymech Hashem L'chol HaNoflim. Yeah, God picks you up. You will fall, but don't despair. Maybe that's a better topic. You will fall, but don't despair. You're going to be going back, whether it's only just for a few months, for a summer, and then coming back to the cocoon, coming back to the midbar of spirituality, you will fail. There's no tzaddik that's able to, it's going to happen. Whether it's a minyan that you miss, whether it's a mitzvah that you miss, whether it's an aveira that you were challenged and unfortunately did not get the challenge, but don't despair after that. Just get back up and go again. God's not mad at you. God doesn't want to kill you. God doesn't hate you. Get back up and do the spirituality that Hashem says. I can't let you leave here without a final statement, of course, about something that I think I didn't, the Sfas Emes doesn't say, and my friend quotes his vort, and he misses, I think, the point as well. And that is, you know, my friend goes further. He talks about, you know, not Shana Aleph that we know it as, but the yeshiva bachar that gets married and the parents pay for them to go to Israel to sit and learn for 2 years or 3 years or whatever it is, and they come back now and they don't know. So that's what the Chiddush HaRim was saying. But I think he missed the point, because you didn't stop, just go learn somewhere, right? Years ago, I had a very interesting debate, if you will, where they asked me to serve on a panel as a very smart, I know everything, 19-year-old boy who just spent a year in Israel. Why is the year in Israel important? Well, there's regular adults there. And this one guy was very against Shana Aleph, clearly. And he raised his hand, and being the chutzpahdik person, I'm like, yeah, I'll take this question. What do you got? Let's go. And he said, I agree that a kids should get a year off to learn Torah. But why Israel? Why not Queens? It's beautiful yeshivas in Queens. Why not Queens? Nah, I couldn't take it. I said, are you serious? You're wearing a yarmulke? I know, that's what the guy know. I said, Eretz Yisrael is the place that we belong. The spirituality in this country that we're in, that's different. What the Meraglim, if we could take this Chiddush HaRim, this is not what he says, but to the conclusion that I think is obvious, is that it's Eretz Yisrael, it's all spirituality. Yes, the Ribbono Shalom wants you to do Gashmias, but over the Gashmias is so much more Ruchnius in Eretz Yisrael than anywhere else. You see that, I hope you saw that in this year. There's just a state of Ruchnius you can't explain. It's not because of Yeshiva Leva Torah only. It's all around you. Wherever you go, it's so much easier to live a Ruchnius life. So I think that that is the end game. Not God wants you to live a life where you have challenges. The challenges are here. They're not easy challenges. One of the greatest brachas I ever received was the day after my top 10 worst days of my life. It's when our lift came. We had a great first week. We went on the honeymoon. And then the truck comes with all the stuff in it. It's awesome. I'm so excited. And it was a bad day. The truck comes on the block and the guy says, there's no way I can get down your block. It's too difficult. I go, no, you could do it. Just try. He was like an 80-year-old truck driver. He didn't want to touch his car to get, the big truck to get. I said, but you could do it. I'm telling him that. And the people in the car with him, you could do it. He won't do it. He gets out of the truck and he says, give me $700 or I'm not going to do this for you. I'm going to park the truck on the side and I'm going to have to go. I'm like, I'll give you $700. What do you think? I'm a fryer? You think I'm American or not? And he backs the car up and he truck up and he leaves. With all the stuff, my wife's crying. That was a good scam. So I finally was able to get the guy back. And I gave him the $700. I was very upset. And it was, and they were, it was hot. It was, you know, Eretz Yisrael, August time. And it was just a horrible situation. They're throwing things into the house. They broke stuff. They just wanted to finish already. And we were just in despair. And the next morning I went to shul. And those days there was no, I was one of the first residents of this wonderful community. This was old dirt roads and all that stuff. There's no Leva Torah, there's no Minyanim, there was no. So I used to go right over here by the Merkaz. I used to daven an inn. Now it's called Lev Eliyahu, of Mordechai Goldstein's, the Rav Shchuna there. Great Gadol. And I'm done with my very, very long shachris there. The shachris is just about as long as our Yom Kippur davening. And I go up to him to give him the Shalom Aleichem. I just moved here and happened to have a connection. One of somebody he grew up with goes to my shir, went to my one of my shirs in Tina. And he looks at me and he says, I want to give you a very special bracha. He says, you know, people have the line, they say you should have a klita ni'ima. You should have a pleasant aliyah. It should be, you know, your adjustment here should be. He says, despite all the red tape. Eretz Yisrael niknas be'isurim. He goes, it's not going to be easy. You should know that. You're going to have days that you just look at yourself and you say, I'm so organized. I'm from America. We're so organized. And you're going to go and get a license. You're going to go five times to the license office after waiting for an hour, five times. And the lady's going to say, no, you can't have it today for whatever reason. This happened to us, right? It's going to happen to you. She's going to laugh in your face. And you can't say, well, I'm going to call the Bed of Business Bureau. She's like, call in, what do you want? She was on the phone. And I go online and I'm like, she's like, oh, the computers are down. I said, how long will they be down for? She goes, do I look like another video? I have no idea. I said, well, can I have the number of the place? She's on the phone. Can I have the number of the place? I'll call. I said, we're going to do shopping. She goes, we don't have a phone here. Well, you're on the phone. You do have a phone here. She goes, no, we don't. I see you talking on the phone. No, we don't have a phone. Yep. So Rav Goldstein, really, it meant a lot to me. That's the sport. Despite the red tape, despite the difficulty of it is, it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy spiritually. It's not easy. You're going back to a land that's not filled with spirituality in the slightest chance. And maybe you're going to a place, even if you're going to YU, it's not in a neighborhood of spiritual bliss. And certainly if you're going on a secular college campus, I mean, you're in for a big surprise. And you're going away for the summer, you're in for a big surprise. The adjustment is hard. But the lesson is, Rabbi Yisai, if you fall, just get right back up. As if nothing happened. Do your tshuva for it. But after your tshuva, stop thinking about it. Done. It's one of the things I always tell Talmidim. They did tshuva for something, years later, they go, oh, but I always remember when I did X, Y, and Z. Done. Forget about that. Forget about it. It's over. I feel horrible what I did in high school. Okay, it's done. You did tshuva for it. Move on. We don't believe in harping on it. Move on. My Birsa Hashem, my bracha, don't worry, we'll continue, but my bracha is that you should understand that Rabbeinu Shalom loves you so much, and part of that love is challenging you so that you get even stronger spiritually. And you should all be zoicha, and this is a big bracha, you should recognize and understand the great year that you had here in Eretz Yisrael. And recognize that it is the spiritual place to grow. And Yemirtz Hashem, it should be everybody's end game, not only when Mashiach comes, which could be tomorrow, but if that's not tomorrow, it should be some way, somehow, the spiritual goal for you. Bekarav mamish, b'mahed of yamein.